Your weekend begins in Crystal Palate's Wine Country with sommelier Crystal Cameron Shad. Every week, Crystal takes your palate on a journey from the vineyard to the glass and opens your mind to the endless choices that await your next sip. Uncork your passion starting now on your trip through Wine Country on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
And good morning. Welcome to Crystal Palate's Wine Country. I'm your host, Crystal Cameron Shad. It is so great to be back with you on this beautiful weekend. Did you know that Virginia has 9 wine regions and at last count more than 280 vineyards? Well, a large portion are located right here in central Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley in northern Virginia. Winemakers are seeing success in nearly every corner of the Commonwealth. On today's show, we're taking a little road trip to Virginia's Eastern Shore. It's about a 4-hour drive from Charlottesville, where the owners of Chatham Vineyards will join me to talk about their part of the winemaking world. The shore is probably best known for its vibrant fishing and crabbing communities. And while the briny, delectable, and various oyster offerings and sweet Chesapeake crab get plenty of accolades, there is something quite unique about the terroir here that is garnering interest across Virginia and beyond. Chatham Vineyards is one of two producers in the eastern region, a very distinct coastal area nestled between the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. Joining me now to talk a little bit about this special place, Harvest 2016, and wine and brine season, are the owners of Chatham, John and Mills Wenner. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Crystal. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Crystal. Thank you.
And thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And I have you both on because, like so many vineyards, it really, truly is a family affair. I'm going to toss the first question over to John, though, because, John, you are a second-generation, not only second-generation wine grower, but second-generation Virginia wine grower. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, that's correct, Crystal. My mother and father planted their vineyard in 1970 in Fairfax County, and in fact, in Great Falls, the year I was born. So I very much grew up working in the vineyard. And what's so interesting is at that time, there was a big debate about whether we could even grow French vinifera grapes in Virginia, more or less the whole East Coast. So my mother and father grew 15 different varietals of French American hybrids. So at a very young age, I got a fair amount of experience growing Vidal Blanc and Chambersin and Saval, and those were all very much household names in the 70s and 80s growing up.
So you can say wine growing essentially has always been in your blood, and now you guys own Chatham, but the family bought the property back in the 70s, but didn't even think about viticulture on the shore until about 20 years later.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, the decision to move to Virginia's Eastern Shore was very much a quality of life decision. We absolutely love living here on the Chesapeake Bay and near the Atlantic Ocean, and it's just such a beautiful area to live that we really wanted to live on Virginia's Eastern Shore. And then we spent a few years deciding how we would be able to earn a living and raise children here on Virginia's Eastern Shore. And after looking at aquaculture and looking at the nursery business, we decided wine growing is what our family has done. Mm-hmm. It's what we're comfortable doing. And we thought the whole idea of starting Chatham Vineyards was a great way of producing wines that were distinct, very sight expressive of Virginia's unique Eastern Shore.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the viticulture. I think a lot of folks, we don't realize that not only is Virginia one of the top 5 wine-growing regions in the country now, but we are really seeing world-class wines from about every pocket of the Commonwealth. And I think on first sight, you hear Eastern Shore, and you're saying, well, if Hampton Roads can't really do well with grapes, how can the Eastern Shore do well with grapes? So will you tell us a little bit about the viticultural process, why that area is so unique, specifically when it comes to the soil and the climate and how it's different from the rest of Virginia?
Right. Well, first of all, I think it's important to say Virginia's Eastern Shore is one of the largest food belts on the East Coast, and a tremendous amount of agriculture comes from Virginia's Eastern Shore. So if you can successfully grow a wide variety of agricultural products, it makes sense that you will have some success growing wine grapes. And I think what's so interesting about Virginia's Eastern Shore is we typically have a very long season. Mm-hmm. And the soils are very unique in the And all of this adds to the distinct character, the site expressiveness of our wines. And the style that we grow is very traditional. We're high-density planting on a vertical trellis system. Our vineyards are first-generation French clones. The vineyards were first planted in 1999. And there's a tremendous influence between the bay and the ocean. Mm-hmm. And I find in the vineyard, it's never one thing. It's always a series of things. It's viticulture, it's clones, it's rootstocks, it's trellising, it's vine density, it's the soil, it's the amount of sunlight, the wind, and the rain, and the influence of two large bodies of water, the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. And all of these play a role in the final product of our wines. And it doesn't necessarily make the wines better or worse. It just makes them different and distinct. And what's so exciting in this day and age now is people are really interested in tasting what's local. They're interested in tasting Virginia's Eastern Shore. And it's very similar to seafood. When people come to Virginia's Eastern Shore, they're interested in tasting the local oyster or the local fish. And that's also true about wine. It's one of the few things where you can actually taste place. And so it's really worked out beautifully for us because people gravitate towards the vineyard like they do towards the fresh seafood that we have on Virginia's Eastern Shore.
And you guys are really making a name for Virginia wine on the Eastern Shore. And if you haven't been to visit, I really encourage you to take a drive down to the Eastern Shore and visit them. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up later. And you also mentioned the seafood, John. And I do want to get Mills in here and coming up about the oyster and wine pairings, because there's very few places in the world where you can actually eat the same oysters from the same waterbeds that the vines are tended in. So it's a really unique place you have down there. And I'm excited to talk a little bit more about the wine and brine season coming up in a little bit. Just touching back on viticulture for a moment, I think it's important. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, I really wanted to do this show was to educate our audience and to talk about berry to bottle, grapes to glass. And there's so much in between that process, and there's so much love and labor. And you were talking about the climate a little bit and the long growing season. And you are very lucky, too, because you have very well-drained soils down there that really helps, too, right?
Yes, that's correct. We have a sandy loam Bojack Munden soil with a band of clay and layers of ancient shell. And our soils drain really well, and that's important because Virginia's Eastern Shore is flat land. And Chatham drains very well. It's actually on higher ground on most places on the Eastern Shore, but it drains tremendously well. And we have roots that go 8 to 10, some even go 12 feet down. And a few years ago, we dug some test pits, and we saw the roots go all the way down into the iron ore, which is the beginning of gravel, of course. And so we're finding over the years our wines are getting more complex. You know, our vineyards now are in their 17th and 18th year. So I'd like to think that we're farming at different levels of soil. And my background is more in viticulture. My comfort level is in wine growing because that's something that I've done all my life. And so if you're familiar with Chatham Vineyards wines, they tend to be more vineyard-driven. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of a reflection of the viticulture.
And John, you often
high
say...
High input, low yields. We really get in there and we do good canopy management. We make an effort to not overcrop. And we do a lot of field sorting before the grapes even come to the winery. And once they're at the winery, it's more of a minimalist approach. It's really just to bring out the flavors that the vintage has created.
And you often talk about farming for flavors, and I know I visited you guys several times down on the shore, and it's really about letting the grape speak for itself, letting the terroir speak for itself, and bringing out those gorgeous flavors of the DNA of the grape as well as the mineral-driven terroir you guys have down there.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that mineral-driven terroir that you talked about, that is something that has been mentioned by several wine writers. Stephen Spurrier and Oz Clark, both British wine writers, had mentioned the minerality to my wine as well as the saline quality. And I think that really goes towards the distinct character of the wines that we produce here. And after 17, 18 years of farming on Virginia's Eastern Shore, Every year is different, of course. It's a combination of different things, late spring, long fall, hot summer, cool summer. And these affect sugars and pH and acid, of course. But we see consistently year after year similar flavor profiles. And that's when you really begin to understand the flavors that you're farming for. And I have sort of a 10-year rule. I like to give things 10 years before I really comment on them, because we all know we can have good vintages and poor vintages and average vintages. But over that 10-year period, you begin to see consistencies. And it's the consistencies, the subtlety of the consistencies, that really give you a sense of place and the flavors of your farm.
And I think we're seeing that more and more across Virginia, as a lot of the vines across many vineyards are getting 10, 15, 20, 25 years old in some cases. We're just seeing better quality wines, obviously, with that and the obviously investment in innovation and technology as well. John, stay with me and Mills as well for just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, I want to talk a little bit about your wine portfolio and how Vintage 2016 is shaping up for you guys. Stay with us. You're listening to Crystal Palette's Wine Country.
Oh, I love the sounds of fall in Virginia.
The leaves rustling, football games,
corks popping, glasses filling,
wine sipping.
I love wine sipping. It's like singing, only without sound.
Okay, let's hear it again.
Fall is the perfect time for Virginia wine. Visit virginiawine.org to discover your local crush.
Thanks for staying with us. If you're just joining us this morning, I have the owners of Chatham Vineyards on Virginia's Eastern Shore with me. John and Mills Wenner are with me this morning, and we've been talking a little bit about the history of Chatham, and now I want to focus a little bit on Vintage 2016. So you started planting in 99. You have about 17-year-old vines right now. How is Vintage 2016 shaping up for you?
So Vintage 2016 has been a season of extremes. If you recall, on April 6th, we had a deep freeze that caused some injury to the Chardonnay buds. The reds were okay, but we had very much of a mild winter along with the rest of the state, and then we had a deep freeze on April 6th, and we had a very cool spring, a very cool long spring, and I think that's part of the reason why summer feels like it just came and went.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, August and September have been record heat. It's been very dry. And so we have seen a fair amount of extremes. You know, every vintage is a combination of different things, and no one vintage is ever the same. And so Mills and I, we always talk about what this year is going to bring, and we say after 17 years, how many different ways can it be? But there's always seems to be a different twist to the vintage. But so far, it's been this fall has been really nice. We've had the luxury of picking smaller lots this year and taking our time, and we haven't had any major storms, so it's been dry. So it's allowed the reds to really catch up in ripening, and we're about, I would say, about 2 weeks away from picking the Merlot.
So you've already picked the Chardonnay, right?
Well, we are in the process of picking the Chardonnay. Our last pick of Chardonnay will be on Friday, and then we'll press all weekend. And then all the Chardonnay will be in tank, and then there'll be a lull. And then in about 2 weeks, we'll go into Merlot. And then right behind Merlot, we'll go into the Cabernet Franc. And actually, what looks interesting this year is the Cabernet Sauvignon is slightly ahead of the Cabernet Franc for the first time. So we'll sort of see how that goes. And then Petit Verdot always tends to be a later harvest. So I would say by mid-October, we should be probably wrapped up mid to the end of October, and then send all the wine to barrel in November.
And, John, you did mention that in April, and I've talked to many winemakers across Virginia that have suffered from the frost in April. We had some pretty significant cold nights. I know in some places in central Virginia it dipped down to about 18 degrees in the valley. And you said you have a little bit of impact. Did you lose much of your Chardonnay, or how's that looking? How's the overall fruit quality looking?
So the fruit quality is good. I just wish there was more fruit.
Sure.
we experienced, I would say, conservatively about a 25% loss, more like maybe a 30% loss in tonnage. And we're starting to realize that now as we pick. Again, the big culprit was the mild winter. Typically, we never butt out as early as April 6th, but we had such a mild winter that the Chardonnay butted out in March. So it allowed sort of a perfect scenario for a frost in early April.
And there's certainly so much that goes into the vintage when it comes to winemaking, and I think that's so important to share with our listeners. I want to take a minute and talk a little bit about your wine portfolio. You mentioned some of the grapes you grow already. I know you do two different Chardonnays, and you're also seeing quite a success with a lot of your red varietals as well. And I think for the longest time, people tended to have a negative perception of red wines in Virginia. And I think as the vines are getting older, we're seeing more and more quality with these wines. And you're doing some great things with Cab Franc, with Petit Verdot, and even Cab Sauv, which many people are like, Cab Sauv in Virginia? Absolutely. But tell us a little bit about your red wine portfolio.
Yes, well, first of all, you're right about the reputation of red wines from maybe 20 years ago in Virginia. But, you know, what I have seen is not only are we doing a better job in the cellar making wine, but we're doing a better job in the vineyard growing our grapes. And with the help of French clones and high-density spacing and vertical trellis system and limiting our yields, maintaining a much smaller canopy, doing a better job keeping our leaves healthier later into the fall. All of this goes towards wine quality. And quite honestly, what I love about the wine business is it's a very slow, subtle business. So these are things that you can only learn over time by doing. And so it's a natural progression of any wine region, whether it's South America or Australia or South Africa or France or Italy. It's a very slow, subtle business, and it evolves over time. So I think what you're seeing in Virginia is very much a natural progression of people that are becoming very intimate with their land and their winemaking abilities.
And I want to talk a little bit about Cabernet Franc in particular. So if you're listening this morning, Cabernet Franc certainly doesn't get the love that Cabernet Sauvignon gets. And Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc are actually the parents of Cabernet Sauvignon. And you make a beautiful Cabernet Franc, and I just recently tasted your 2014, which is so graceful and ethereal, and it has all of those beautiful red notes of raspberry and a little bit of plum and even a little touch of a herbaceous sage, but in a very nice way. Now, Cab Franc can be quite herbal. What is your secret, John?
So, first of all, it's canopy management. It's limiting crop yields. Cabernet Franc can be unforgiving if you don't do a good job thinning, if you don't get adequate sunlight onto the fruit, if you don't have a thin canopy. What you don't want is leaf-on-leaf shading. So we're very aggressive in the vineyard in terms of making sure we do good viticulture. To really limit the amount of underripeness that we get in Cabernet Franc.
And I know it's one of your favorite grapes, too, right?
You know, I really like growing Cabernet Franc. In the early years when the vineyard was younger, the grapes were out of balance, and so I saw a fair amount of uneven ripeness, and I think the early vintages might have reflected that. But now that the vines are getting older, you know, grapevines are a lot like people. I think that was sort of the teenage years. And once we grew out of those awkward teenage years and the vines got older, the wines are much more elegant and balanced. And we're able to get some really nice ripe fruit, and that helps with the development and the aging of the wines.
And I love the way you put that, John. When you think about the awkward teenage years, the terrible twos as a young kid, they're getting a little more refined, and like we're getting better with age. I think that's maybe where that saying went with fine wine. You know, the vineyards too; they get better with age. I do want
right,
to talk.
Okay. And also, we have teenagers in the house now, very young teenagers, so it all is very appropriate.
Speaking of your kids, and Mills, feel free to chime in here. You're raising three children on the Eastern Shore and basically in the vineyard as John grew up. What's it like to raise your kids in that environment?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful, Crystal. They're with us in the vineyard, in the winery. There's so many jobs that little hands and little people can work on and contribute to. We're very happy that our Our boys are loving hunting and fishing and appreciative of the outdoors. And there's a certain safety and security and a feeling on the shore where you can escape some of the things in the greater world, things you may not want children to be exposed to when they're younger. So I just think we're in a beautiful, special place, and we're able to work side by side with our children and therefore instill the values that we care about in them. And they're responding so far pretty well, but again, we are only headed into the teenage years now.
Hopefully they won't be too awkward.
Three young outdoors enthusiasts who so far seem to want to continue a third generation of wine growing here. So we're thankful for that.
Well, hopefully that trend will continue because you're doing some beautiful work there. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to talk about your Steele Chardonnay coming up on the other side of the break and more about the aquaculture and viticulture of the beautiful Eastern Shore. Stay with us. You're listening to Crystal Palace Wine Country.
Oh, I love the flavors of fall in Virginia.
I know, right? Everything's all salted caramel and spiced pumpkin.
And petite verdot-y and sauvignon-y.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes, I am. Let's go do a tasting.
Viognier!
Fall is the perfect time for Virginia wine. Visit virginiawine.org to discover your local crush.
Welcome back to the show. John and Mills Wenner of Chatham Vineyards on the Eastern Shore are staying around with us. And we've been talking a lot about wine philosophy, viticulture, and the history of Chatham. But now I want to dive into what everyone likes to talk about, food and wine, right? We all love perfect pairings. And oysters and wine are such a classic pairing. This combination has inspired many people, including one of my favorite writers, Ernest Hemingway. And I wanted to share this, what he had to say about this classic pairing in his book, A Movable Feast. As I ate the oysters with their strong taste of the sea and their faint metallic taste that the cold white wine washed away, leaving only the sea taste and the succulent texture, and as I drank their cold liquid from each shell and washed it down with a crisp taste of the wine, I lost the empty feeling and began to be happy and to make plans again. Such a beautiful quote, and I think that's the exact experience you get if you're an oyster and wine lover down on the shore. Mills, tell us a little bit about this pairing and why it's so special for you on the shore.
Oh, Crystal, first of all, I love that Hemingway quote. Thank you for sharing that. And I have always loved oysters, and I often say that people don't just, if they love oysters, they're fanatics. People go crazy for oysters, and oysters bring people out of the woodwork. And for us on the Eastern Shore, we're very fortunate to be surrounded by major aquaculture operations. And in fact, Virginia is one of the largest oyster producers nationwide, and it's a very special place in the world for us because it allows us to pair our wines, particularly our crisp, minerally white Chardonnay, with the oysters that are produced around our shores. And there's great variety in these oysters. So not only are we one of the only places in the world that can offer such a unique, hyper-local food and wine pairing, I think the Loire Valley would probably come up in most people's minds as another place in the world that can do such a thing. We can actually offer a great variety of oysters from the bayside to the seaside to some of the tidal creeks. We call them creeks. They're really, these waterways are as big as rivers. And not only oysters, actually, Virginia is the largest producer of hard shell clams in the country. So we have incredible seafood offerings. You touched on crabs earlier. Of course, we have scallops. We can go on and on, but we choose to focus on this unique wine and food offering in our wine and oysters because it's not something you can do many other places in the world, and people appreciate it, people love it, people come to us to have this experience, and it's wonderful. As Hemingway says, it's one of the great pleasures in the world.
Yeah, how can you not read that and just want to go out and get some oysters and a great glass of your Steele Chardonnay? I think I want that for lunch, so. Do you deliver? No. Let's get into, you're offering something new this year. You're offering the Church Creek Wine and Oyster Tour starting in October. Let's tell our listeners a little bit about that.
We're excited about this, Crystal. We have evolved our wine and oyster offerings now to include an immersive aquaculture, viticultural, educational experience. So that's a lot of words for, with our partners at Shooting Point Oyster Company, we are going to put people on an oyster boat, a working oyster boat, in Church Creek, which, and into Nassauwatox Creek, which are the bodies of water that surround our vineyards. They are going to be able to pull up a cage of oysters, learn how the oysters are cultivated in these waters. They're going to be able to taste these bayside oysters alongside some of the seaside oysters that Shooting Point Oyster Company also produces. Shooting Point Oyster Company is based in Bayford, which is an historic town on the bayside of the Eastern Shore. It's at the headway of Nassauwatox Creek and Church Creek, and it also has the oldest standing oyster house on the bayside of the Eastern Shore. So they're basically going to begin their tour at this historic oyster house. They'll have a tour of the hatchery. They'll jump on the oyster, the boat, which is called the Oyster Queen. They'll have an experience on the water with the folks at Shooting Point Oyster Company, and they'll come around the bend into Church Creek and arrive at our docks at historic Chatham Farm. They will greet us, we will greet the guests at the dock, and then they will have a viticultural tour. They will walk the farm with us. They'll have a little bit of a history on Chatham Farm and the historic house here. They'll be able to have a brief tour of the vineyards. And all of this will culminate at the winery with a wine tasting, but also an oyster tasting, where they will each guest will enjoy a raw bar of Bayside and Seaside Eastern Shore oysters paired with our Chardonnays.
That sounds like such a great thing to do, and you're offering these on Saturdays. There's more information on your website, chathamvineyards.net, so go ahead and check that website out. I want to make sure we cover a few more things before we completely run out of time. This half hour goes by so quickly. Another thing you've been doing for a few years now is the Miroir and Terroir event in November.
Yes, Crystal, our Miroir Terroir event is our oyster extravaganza. It's Saturday, November 12th. We offer a raw bar tasting of 6 different Eastern Shore oysters grown from the bayside to the seaside, unlimited roasted oysters, and an Eastern Shore-style clam chowder, and our wines and acoustic music. And more information on that can be found at both chathamvineyards.net and virginiawineandbrine.com, Virginia spelled out, wineandbrine.com, where we have an entire month full of events that are wine and oyster related and include restaurant offerings, major oyster roasts on every weekend, and special tastings throughout the season.
So many fun things going on in the fall throughout Virginia and even on Virginia's beautiful Eastern Shore that often gets overlooked, and there's so much charm and so many wonderful things to do down there. As far as your tasting room, if someone wants to just come down and check you out, when is your tasting room open?
We are open daily, 10 to 5. Through December.
Okay.
We'll be closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays in January, February, and March. Otherwise, open daily.
Sounds great. Guys, we're out of time, but thank you so much for staying with me today and sharing your story of Chatham. And I hope our listeners will take a little day trip to come down and visit you and celebrate all the shore has to offer, especially in the fall months.
Thanks so much, Crystal. Cheers to you.
Thank you. And so go ahead and go to their website again, chathamvineyards.net. They also partner with Southeast Expeditions on an awesome kayak tour, a wine and kayak tour, so that information is also available on their website. And head over to crystalpalette.com, where you'll find a mini documentary that I put together on Chatham for the 2014 harvest. Next week, I'm sitting down with Chris Pierman of Pierman Cellars. I hope you'll join me then. Until then, have a fabulous weekend filled with love, laughter, and fabulous Virginia wine. Cheers.